Monday, November 11th. The Memorial of St. Martin of Tours. First reading from Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Paul, a slave of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's chosen ones and the recognition of religious truth, in the hope of eternal life that God, who does not lie, promised before time began, who indeed at the proper time revealed his word, in the proclamation with which I was entrusted by the command of God our Savior, to Titus, my true child in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. For this reason I left you in Crete, so that you might set right what remains to be done, and appoint presbyters in every town, as I directed you, on condition that a man be blameless, married only once, with believing children who are not accused of licentiousness or rebellious. For a bishop as God's steward must be blameless, not arrogant, not irritable, not a drunkard, not aggressive, not greedy for sordid gain, but hospitable, a lover of goodness, temperate, just, holy, and self-controlled, holding fast to the true message as taught, so that he will be able both to exhort with sound doctrine and to refute opponents. Haydock Commentary. Regarding verse 1, for the sake of the faith of God's chosen ones, etc., that is, of the Christians, now the elect people of God. By truth, St. John Chrysostom here understands the truth of the Christian religion, as distinguished from the Jewish worship, which consisted in a great measure in figures and types of truth. Regarding verse 2, God who does not lie, etc., God does not lie because he is truth itself. Regarding verse 3, who indeed at the proper time revealed his word, etc., St. Jerome understands the word incarnate, others the word of God preached, which St. Paul says was committed to him. Regarding verse 5, for this reason I left you in Crete so that you might set right what remains to be done, etc., the sense cannot be that he was to change anything St. Paul had ordered, but to settle things which St. Paul had not time to do, for example, to establish priests in the cities, that is to say bishops, as the same are called in verse 7. And, as St. John Chrysostom and others observe, it is evident from this very place that the word presbyter was then used to signify either priests or bishops. That the ordaining of priests belongs only to bishops is evident from the Acts and from St. Paul's epistles to Timothy and Titus. It is true, St. Jerome seems to express himself as in the primitive church there was no great difference between priests and bishops, yet he constantly excludes giving holy orders, as also confirming the baptized by giving them the Holy Ghost by imposition of hands and holy chrism, which preeminence he attributes to bishops only. To assert that there is no distinction between a priest and bishop is an old heresy, condemned as such by the church. Regarding verse 6, that a man be blameless, etc., these words, if taken in their strictest meaning, do not seem to have all the force St. Paul meant them to have, for it is not sufficient that a bishop be free from great crimes. He ought, moreover, to lead such a life as to draw others by his example to the practice of virtue. If we consult all antiquity, we shall find that if in the early infancy of the church some who had been once married were ordained to the ministry, we shall find that after their ordination they abstained from the use of marriage. Regarding verse 8, that he be self-controlled or continent, though both the Latin and Greek words signify in general one that hath abstained or contained and overcome himself, yet it is particularly used for such as contain themselves from carnal pleasures. The Gospel, Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause sin will inevitably occur, but woe to the one through whom they occur. It would be better for him if a millstone were put around his neck and he be thrown into the sea than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he wrongs you 7 times in one day and returns to you 7 times saying, 'I am sorry,' you should forgive him." And the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." Haydock Commentary. The world being corrupted as it is, and the spread of evil so wide, it is impossible that scandals should not come. It is impossible morally speaking with regard to the malice of men. Regarding verse 2, it would be better if a millstone, etc., Christ here speaks after the manner of the Jews, who were accustomed to inflict this punishment only on the greatest malefactors, so that we must be ready to undergo the most excruciating torments rather than cause any scandal to our neighbor, Though we must here observe that if our neighbor takes scandal at our good works, we ought not on that account to desist from doing good, or desert the truth. Regarding verse 5, increase our faith, etc., Theophylactus says, the disciples, having heard our Savior inculcating maxims hard to flesh and blood, such as avoiding scandal and forgiving our enemies, humbly beg their faith may be increased, that they may be able to comply with these maxims. For they had heard Christ say that everything was possible to him that believed. St. John Chrysostom says, Christ compares faith to a grain of mustard seed, because though the grain be small, it is nevertheless stronger than most herbs. Regarding verse 6, you could say to this mulberry tree, etc. In St. Matthew chapter 17, verse 19, we read, you could say to this mountain. Christ might say both at different times.